Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned off the seatbelt sign and you are free to move around the cabin. I'd like to remind you though, for your safety, please keep your seatbelt fastened whenever you do remain in your seat.
Non-Rev Lounge is an airline employee travel and aviation podcast. Monique and Tyler are a brother and sister combo that discuss our non-rev travels as well as having guests on to share their trips and tips.
All right, welcome to show number two. Pretty excited. We're really grateful for everyone's support. We weren't quite sure what to think as we prepared to start this little podcast, but we had a lot of people that reach out to us and supported us and did better than we expected. We kind of assumed it would just be our mom listening. And the funny thing is, I don't think our mom has listened yet.
Yeah, I sent her a link, but I don't know if she actually listened or not. Because I don't know if she actually even knows what a podcast is. So we can give her a little bit of a break.
But no, we were pretty grateful. We feel like we got more than we ever expected. So it's been fun. So let's get into the show number two. Today we're going to talk about some of the highs and lows of our non-rev and some stories that we've came to have worked out or not worked out.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of those highs and lows then.
So we put a tweet out. You want to read that tweet or give a gist of what we asked?
Yeah, we put out a tweet just to hear about some of your crazy non-rev or just travel stories. And then if you've maybe seen celebrities as you've traveled, or we just kind of want to know some of your fun stories. And we had a few people respond and it was kind of fun to hear some of those stories.
So one of our listeners, Nolster on Twitter at RAFI602, he's a friend of mine from work. He sent us a story about when in Salt Lake City and back in 86, he was late to a gate and they brought the jetway back up for him. He said everybody knew everybody back in America West days. No way this would happen today. No listing, no paper, no non-rev ticket. He said, no problem. Been pretty crazy. That's so much different than now. What are your thoughts on that, Monique?
Oh, yeah, that's way different than now. Now, once that the door of the aircraft is shut, it's end game. Like, there's no opening it back up. We may be, if the door's still open, but the gate door shut, we may be able to squeeze them on. But if aircraft door shut, and then especially if jet bridge is pulled back, there's no way we're bringing that jet bridge back up to get a non-rev on. Because we'd be like, why were you here earlier? Like, yeah, you know the rules, and the rules say you need to be here 30 minutes early.
Where were you at in 1986 when this happened?
I was either in my mom's belly or I was barely born. So 86 was a while ago.
It's a different time. So Nolster sent us a couple of them, pretty funny stories. So we're going to actually try to get him on, share some of his stories. And I know him from work, and we could have him on every week, and he could tell us stuff about flying over the world and his different non-rev days. So yeah, thanks for putting that on and everyone that responded. And we're going to keep asking more questions and see if we can get some more stories to go with our stories.
So it's still invitations still out there. If you've got other stories, let us know.
I was going to have you explain to everyone where the name for our show came from. Do you want to go ahead and do that?
Yeah, well, we had kind of tossed around a few other names that we thought were funny and played on words, but they were already used. So we kind of thought, well, hey, what about like lounge? Because in airports, there's lounges. And sometimes, you know, it's nice if you get to spend some time in those. But also lounge is just somewhere you kind of hang out and chat and visit. And so that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be chatting and visiting. So let's call it like the non-rev lounge.
Yeah. Now that's our what we're hoping to do is have people on and sit and visit about traveling. So that's perfect. Do you want to tell the one that I liked at least that we decided or we thought against doing?
The one with friends with benefits? Yeah. Well, we both really liked that name. Because it's funny because we have flight benefits. So we do have benefits and friends of the podcast kind of. But well, one thing we thought was weird maybe because we're brother and sister, so people may be confused. They're like, wait, do they have benefits like with each other? Like, so we need like that misconception. But then it was also you, so that took it out of the question too. But it would have been interesting if it would have been available, if we still would have went with it.
It would have been funny to people that would have came to our podcast looking for something else and been like, what the crap are they talking about? Airplane stuff, like, this isn't friends with benefits. They're not sharing anything. Exactly. I'm looking for. But yeah, we thought it was funny. But yeah, I like what we settled on, the non-rev lounge. I think it's perfect. So
yeah, I like it as well. I think it's going to fit us well.
So you were telling me the other day about, do you want to tell that story? This isn't a non-rev story, but the travel, you're working at the gates and a couple was trying to go on their honeymoon to Hawaii. We want to tell that story.
Yeah, so Hawaii, well, with COVID, the rules are changing constantly. I feel like we're getting briefings every day about these people need this kind of quarantine and these people need, can't travel. So anyway, so Hawaii recently changed their policy that once you land, you have to have a negative COVID test. And it's even been updated even more recently where I think you have to have it uploaded before you even take off or something like that. But the day that I was working, they just had to have a negative test when they landed. So we boarded this whole plane and we were missing two passengers. And there were two people kind of sitting out there. And so we called by name and the guy came up and he is like, "That's us." We're like, "All right, well, we're just waiting on you. Like we're ready for you to go." And he goes, "Well, we're on our honeymoon and I got my test results back. I'm negative. She hasn't got hers back yet." So we're like, "Well, when did she go do her test?" And he goes, "Well, we went together." So weird that he got his results back, but she didn't. And so the thought was they didn't want to fly all the way to Hawaii, land, and then either she doesn't get her test results back and has to quarantine for 14 days, or they come back, I guess, even worse as negative, and then have to quarantine for 14 days because their trip was only going to be for like 5 days or something like that. So it was like this whole thing where we're going, I get it. Like, it's frustrating that none of the results. Anyway, so I told them, okay, we've got about 10 minutes, so I have to shut this door, go down there. And they're like, "Okay, just wait the 10 minutes for us." I was like, okay. 10 minutes went by. She still didn't have her results in yet. So I said, "All right, I got to shut the door. I got to go down." So shut the door, went down. When I got down there, I talked to the captain. He goes, "Well, maintenance is on board, so it's going to be a few more minutes. So I ran back up to the top and told him, I said, "Don't leave the boarding area. There's maintenance on board. It may be 5 minutes. It may be an hour. You never know with maintenance." And so they were like, okay. So you could tell they kind of had like a little bit of hope back again that they were going to get on. But then with about 10 minutes, maintenance was done. And so kind of called up and they said, "Nope, still don't have our results." So anyway, so I had to dispatch. I had to, you know, pull the jet bridge back and close up the door and came back up and they didn't get a go, which kind of sucks because they flew in from somewhere else to Phoenix. So it's not even like they could just drive home anyway. So, but yeah, they didn't get to go on their honeymoon.
Yeah, their honeymoon.
That's
got to be frustrating. And yeah. You said that wasn't an honor story, but that's still, I mean, for anyone, that's.
Well, that's my other thought was, why didn't they just book to Mexico? Like, Mexico doesn't have like any really restrictions right now with COVID.
Yeah.
That would have been, but I mean, there could be multiple reasons why they were going to Hawaii, but not too smart with COVID right now.
I sent you a tweet the other day that I had seen from Stand By With Me. Remember this one? It said, "Come work for an airline and you'll be able to travel whenever you want, whenever you want." And then it's had like a little thing from Twitter that says, "Official sources stated that this is false and misleading."
Yeah, I saw that. Was funny. That's funny. Like, it's true. That's the promise. But yeah, that's not always the fact.
Yeah, so I thought maybe we could share some stories of when we thought we were going to be able to travel and weren't. Do you have one or do you want me to go first?
Let's hear your story since I was just chatting.
4th of July, we're coming back from Utah from a reunion. We were in Idaho, driving back to Salt Lake to fly back to Phoenix. And there was 50 seats open on the flight, wide open. And I'm watching the flight all day. It's great. As a non-rev, you thought, oh, it's perfect. And then
50 seats is like golden.
Oh yeah. And 4th of July weekend, but it was before people were going to be traveling the next couple of days. So we were getting out of there early. And then Asiana flight, the 777 crashed in San Francisco. I probably remember that coming in kind of low and it crashed. So they started diverting flights everywhere to Salt Lake, to everywhere. So that's where we're going out of. So even though we weren't going to or from San Francisco, it didn't matter. There were so many flights being disrupted. So we got to Salt Lake ready to get on a flight and it went from 50 seats to oversold in like an hour. So all of a sudden now we have to get to Salt Lake for work the next day, which we thought were set. Our parents had to load us up and drive us all the way down to Phoenix. And luckily our parents just bought a new car. And so that was fine, but things changed pretty quick when all of a sudden one little thing happens. I mean, it wasn't like a weather season. It was just a freak accident. So,
well, yeah, because in the winter, you may kind of expect like storms hitting or things like that. But yeah, you wouldn't expect anything around the 4th of July. It's just, everything should be. It's not even hurricane, really. So it's.
Yeah, we were smart and left like a little bit early before the weekend hit. So we're like, oh, yeah, we'll be back. And I don't know if I don't think we worked the next day, but we still had we couldn't get out the next day. But 50 seats open, we were good to go. Did nothing. So what about you? What's the time that didn't work out when you were trying to non-rev?
I was thinking about this. One of the worst ones was we had flown up to Spokane to go to a Utah football game because we're both really big Utah football fans. Yeah. So we'd went up there for the game. So we flew into Spokane and then we drove over to Washington State to watch the game. But it was coming home. I think it was like the only flight we could get on. We were sitting there and it was going to be really tight. And anyway, I remember sitting at the gate and they said, we're missing one first class passenger. You're the first one on the list. So if they don't show up, you're going to get it. And I remember they kept paging and I was thinking, stop paging them. Like, if they're not here, that's their fault. Like, stop paging them. So finally, they give me the red light or the green light. They're like, go, like, it's your seat. So they give me the seat. I go down. I'm sitting and I'm even thinking like, dang, I made this flight and it's first class. Like, this is the best day ever. And then for some reason, I kept thinking like, okay, well, they should be shutting the door soon. And all of a sudden the gate agent comes down and like walks up to me and they're like, the person showed up. So we're going to need your seat back. And I was like, oh, and you can't say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a free seat. You're an employee. Like, you just have to get up. So I'm getting up and other first class passengers are like, what's going on? Like, where is she going? And I was like, I got to get off. Like, you can't say much. And I remember they were like, don't make her leave. And I was like, yeah, don't make me leave. And I was like, just got to get my stuff and walk off. So I got my stuff and walked off. And that was the last one of the day. Cause I remember we had to spend the night at our cousin's house, but yeah, that was, it kind of sucked to be in the seat thinking, man, this was great, to all of a sudden be like, nope, I'm walking, doing the walk of shame back up the jet bridge with my bag.
Yeah. I remember that. And the next day we didn't get on the first flight, but we finally got home, I believe, on the second one. But yeah, when you're so close, like, you're in your seat and not just AC, but first class seat. To reject it.
But it did feel good. The other first class passengers were very supportive and they didn't want me to leave either. So that meant a lot. And I think I remember the guy was at the bar. I feel like I remember hearing that he like came running up and there was something that I feel like, to me, it wasn't a legitimate reason of why he should be late. Like, it was like, that's stupid. But he was first class, so they like had to appease him.
Yeah. Were you my registered guest or were you hired on at that time? Do you remember?
I'm pretty sure it was your guest. I think I was just your guest at that time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's a.
So that was nice that you would have even let me go first in front of you.
It must have been you needed to get home more.
Or I wonder if it was, if you let me go, because then I would have had a higher standing. Because if you would have went, I wonder if the next day it would have bumped me down.
That's possible.
Didn't I have a higher priority if I was with you?
The other thing was, when you were the registered guest, you didn't get Zed fares. You couldn't fly on other airlines. And so you had to fly our airline, where I could have hopped on Southwest or Delta or Alaska to get out of there, where you couldn't do that.
That's true.
So that's my guess, is that was, if we both had to get home equally, then that was the reason to get you out, where I could jump around a little bit. But yeah, so let's try to find some positive stories to finish off, since we kind of told two negative things. So, because non-revving has its good and a bad. And as long as you're flexible. So do you have a good story, or should I see if I can?
Oh, let's hear your good story.
I'm going to tell the story of one that was bad, kind of bad, that turned good.
Okay.
So we were going to fly to Santiago a couple of years ago for my birthday, because I had never flown lay flat. We flew to Miami, Phoenix to Miami, and we already knew it was kind of tight. We could have made the flight for sure, but I wanted to have the lay flat experience. Land in Santiago. I think we had 48 hours was the plan, one night, overnight, and then a second day, and then fly out. Or maybe just less, but 2 days worth, one night. And because of the way that our priority listed, we didn't get the lay flat. So we had to make decisions. We just want to take the seat in the back or spend the night and figure out what we're going to do. And we opted to, even though we didn't get on, to look and see what our options were. So we got a hotel and we found that if we flew Miami back to San Francisco, that we could get on the San Francisco to New York on the 321T. The 321T that we're going to get on, American has, and it's the three class configuration where it has 10 in first, 20 in business, and like 100 in the back. And there was enough seats in that first class that it's a full lay flat first class and business class that we could fly into New York. And so for my birthday, we flew Miami back to San Francisco to fly to New York. And then New York, we turned around and went on that same kind of airplane back to LA. So, and I know it sounds crazy to probably a lot of people, but that was amazing. Like getting that from never having lay flat first class. Do you remember your first flight lay flat, Monique?
I think mine was down to Santiago.
Yeah, so you had already done the trip.
And, yeah.
But after you have it, it's nothing compares to it.
Oh yeah, it's so fun.
Unless you can get on like...
You feel so fancy. Like you, like Fergie's like, fine, first class. Like that's what just goes through your mind like the whole time. Because you feel so
unless good. You can, yeah, unless you can get like Singapore's like suite. That's, yeah, big, yeah. But as far as like a compared to sitting in the back in a normal, that's, I just remember we flew to San Francisco, New York, and then New York to LA, and then we flew back to Phoenix. So we did it just to travel, and we didn't even have access to the clubs. We just flew to fly. And I remember when we got to LA, and then we ended up going to LA to Phoenix, and we both ended up in middle seats in the back.
Yeah, I think it was like middle X0, so it still should have seemed nice, but it seemed so crummy.
Yeah, we were smashed between, after being on those other ones with us lay flat for crossing the country twice, it was like the longest hour of my life. But that experience, the first lay flat experience, and I've had a number of ones since then, that was a couple of years back, but it's amazing. Like it's so, even we're looking to travel in the next week and we're going out of our way to get lay flat seats, to domestic lay flat, but we there's other option. We could have flown nonstop where we're going. And
well, one thing that's so nice too about when it's not COVID time, the lay flat, is you feel like they're just feeding you the entire time.
Oh yeah.
Like you sit down and they're like, here's your warm nuts. And then they're like, and here's another treat. And then they're like, bring their big menu out. And they're like, what do you want to eat? And you're like, I get a whole menu to look at. Like,
it's... Yeah. Like we did JFK to London, and I think it's like 6.5, maybe they say it's 7 hours, but they feed you every 2.5 hours. And so,
yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm not hungry yet, but they're like, but it's time for our next service. And the flight from San Francisco to New York was, I think it was like 4.5 hours, and it was through the night. It was a red eye flight, and I was so excited, I couldn't sleep, but I probably should have slept because I had been flying all day already, and it was only like 2 more flights ahead after that. Yeah, we ate as soon as we got off the ground. I started watching shows. I did fall asleep, but then I woke up over like Indianapolis, and we were getting ready to go to the land. And I was like, oh, this is too fast. I need another like 6 hours on this plane. And luckily we got it because we, about 1.5 hours later, we cleaned up and hopped on another one. So, all right. So
well, like just another thing too about the food on those is like when they're not actually doing a meal service, they just have like their snack bag or basket at the front of the cabin that you just, if you were still hungry for some reason, you could still go up and like go get snacks. Do you remember that?
Yeah. They just constantly
just like shoving food down your face. And it's amazing.
Well, those tickets are like what? $9,000.
Oh, probably. Yeah. If you're actually buying them.
If you were to get on, I'd buy it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So do you have a story?
Oh man, yours was a good story. That was a good trip. I remember that trip.
That was fun.
I remember thinking we made like an X of the United States. Like if you do the math, like you look at, we got to do, like we went like coast, like top, like bottom coast, like we did all the
Phoenix, Miami, San Francisco, New York, LA, back to Phoenix. All right, Monique. So that's my story. Do you have a story to share with us about some of one of your good stories, good non-air stories?
So one of my like best or like one of my highs for non-ribbing isn't just one trip. It was a whole month. It turned into what I like to refer to as our celebrity month because it started out as we went to Salt Lake. We went up to Sundance, which is in Salt Lake. They do it up at Park City. Got some pizza and we walked around downtown Park City and we were just kind of celebrity sighting. And I'm pretty sure it was that trip that we were at a crosswalk and we, Bradley Cooper. Yeah. Cause I was like, oh man, that's Bradley Cooper. he's pretty famous. So we did Sundance.
So Sundance, explain Sundance real quick.
This Sundance Film Festival, every year they have a big festival up there, end of January, 1st of February. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
So it's also big like ski time. Yeah. So they do it up there. They show, you know, most of them are independent kind of indie films up there. Some of them, you know, become big hits after that. But a lot of celebrities come in for it. Like it's a big deal.
It's a big party. party, right? They do the shows, but it's people come in to just party. They'll rent out big, lots of celebrities we've seen. And
yeah, because I went to school with a girl who worked at a bar up there, and she said it's the best tip she makes all year, hands down, is when Sundance is in town.
And so the flights are full, usually going up there, because people are coming in from all over. So it's coming in and then leaving like a week later. Flights are pretty tough to get on.
Yeah, Sundance for that big party, that festival. Walked around and froze our butts off. Then the next week, we were able to go to the Super Bowl in Indiana, we kind of had like a backdoor way into it because we knew people, so we could sell the
programs. It sold programs to the door.
Yeah, so before everyone would go into the Super Bowl, we were outside and we would sell programs to them. But then they said once everyone was in, you were good to do what you wanted. So we were able to go into there. But we were there for a few days before, because I remember we flew into Columbus. Indy was out of the question. Like Indianapolis airport was, all the flights were super full. So we flew to Columbus and then rented a car and drove over. But we went and did all kinds of, like, because it's just a party pretty much for that too. They have like the NFL experience. There were free concerts downtown. We went to a couple of those, didn't we? One or two at least.
Yeah, we did the free concerts. We just kind of hung out and saw everything in the city. It's all done up for Super Bowl.
So that was really fun. So in that year when we went and did that, it was Giants and Patriots were playing, I believe. We were watching the game, we were cheering for both sides, and people were kind of looking at us like, these people don't even know what's going on. But when I remember, Madonna was the halftime show performer.
Yeah.
And so as we drove from Columbus into Indianapolis, you played Madonna to get us in the mood, like to get us ready for it, because you were so excited to see Madonna perform. And then when we got in there, they like told everyone, like, for the halftime show, we need you to put your like your flashlights on your phones and do different designs during different parts or whatever. And you could just feel the excitement in the air. Like, it was really fun. And when she came out, I thought, oh my gosh, Tyler's going to cry, because you were very excited.
Yeah, that was fun. That was everyone should go to a Super Bowl once in their life. I don't know how you could make it work. But somehow we made it work that year, and it was pretty amazing. Even though neither of our teams were in the Super Bowl, just to be in a Super Bowl was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. If you're into what, like seeing celebrities or whatever, it was Celebrity Central, because they kind of like almost like a Kiss cam. They had like the celebrity cam go around. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, we did Sundance, and then we did the Super Bowl, and then we had 1 week. And then we did Super Bowl was another week. And then the third week we had planned to go to Hawaii. So we went to Maui our third week. And back then we did Maui really cheap because we would camp. There was a great little campsite that you paid $20 a night. Is that what it was?
Something like that. Yeah. It wasn't expensive at all.
Yeah. So we found like a cheap car for the week, and we would just pay $20 a night to camp. And because we were non-revs at that time, we could check as many bags as we wanted. So it wasn't an issue to check our tent and our air mattresses and light blanket and swimming suits and towels. But so we went to Hawaii for a week. But I remember we'd only been in Hawaii about a day or so. And I started noticing that one of my favorite actors, Zachary Levi from Chuck, he had posted, he'd been up at Sundance, and then he'd been at the Super Bowl, and then he was in Hawaii. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're living our celebrity life. Like, look at us. We're just like Zachary Levi, except for we were doing everything just like
super cheap
people.
Yeah.
Like just the other opposite end, but we were still doing everything like the celebrities were doing. So I felt pretty cool about that.
Like the highlight. It was amazing 3 weeks. Even though we didn't do it expensive to do the Sundance Film Festival, to go to the Super Bowl, and then to be in the beach in Maui. It was either we were stalking him or we were just as lucky as he was, just on the non-rev life.
Yeah, I would say we're just as lucky. I would say we're stalked, because I never actually got to see him.
Yeah, that was a fun time. Those were pretty amazing trips.
Well, that's, now I'm thinking back, I'm like, how did I have a job when I was gone for like almost 3 weeks doing, just living my best celebrity life?
Yeah.
But yeah, I look back and I go, that was a really fun time. The camping was always so fun because I love Hawaii. The Super Bowl was just awesome. Like you said, it's probably once in a lifetime. I don't think I'll ever get back to a Super Bowl. So that was awesome. It's always fun to go to.
We got lucky with the Super Bowl because we had family that had got into this organization that sold these programs. And as long as you volunteer and sell the programs, then you're in. And so you work for a couple of hours selling programs, but then you have tickets to the Super Bowl. I mean, there's standing room, but we're used to that. We're non-revs.
Yeah, well, and then you had friends in Indianapolis, so we were able to stay with them, which was fun to see them. And then also it was a free place to stay. So that helped save us tons of money as well.
Yeah. So we did it really for next to nothing. I mean, the cost of the rental car, which if I remember right, was super cheap. And then Columbus to Indianapolis is like a 3-hour drive. So there's nothing. I mean, that's no question about doing that. So I found something on a Facebook page for, not for our airline, but our members of our airline write in it. And I want to read some of this to you and get your thoughts.
Oh, okay.
So the guy says that he was hired back in 2017. And with his benefits, he's traveled over 450 times and visited 37 countries.
Dang. Good for him.
So he just says how grateful he is for the job, and he looks forward to next year. So what, 3 years, he's played 450 times. So that's about 150 times a year, which is more than I ever did. And 37 countries, which...
That's the part I'm jealous of. Holy Moses.
37 countries.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that is so cool. That's... I kind of want to look this guy up and have him on our show. But yeah, and being able to honor him is, it's amazing. Just to be able to go. I mean... Now, the place I am at now with having kids and a wife, and you have to plan everything out. But yeah, I read that and I was like, I'm going to share that and see what your thoughts were.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, I don't have a family and I still haven't done all that. So, I mean, come on. If he's gone to that many countries, he gets it. He knows how to do it. That's awesome.
Yeah, part of it is just get out of your comfort zone, which is not something that I was great at. But all right, do you have any recommendations for our listeners?
Well, I would say that you can still party like a celebrity, but on an airline budget. So just because you can't necessarily get into some of the events like at Sundance, like, you know, we didn't actually go to any movies. We still were able to go up there and kind of walk around and hang out and just be in that atmosphere, which was really fun. The same with the Super Bowl. They have all those activities they do the week before, free concerts. You can still go do fun things, be in that atmosphere without having to spend tons of money. So I'd say still just get out and do stuff and go to those kind of events, even though you can't actually get in.
No, that's perfect. Yeah, and so and for my recommendation, it would be if you want to go to Super Bowl, it would be if getting into the city that it's hosting it is tough, which it was for us. Like, we couldn't get Indianapolis, but we got into Columbus and was able just to rent a car and head over. So look at the cities nearby, see if you can get in. Even if you can't get into a Super Bowl, the party around it and the atmosphere is always pretty fun.
Or just get a sugar daddy.
Yeah, those are the two options. Well, we wanted to thank everyone that listened to our first episode and is back for more. Thank you for joining us. We got a lot of kind words, like we said. So we wanted to say thank you to our friends, Laura, Jason, Chelsea, Greg, Jen, and Justin.
I want to give a special thank you to Drug and Drew of the Next Trip podcast. They are friends of mine that have a podcast about all things aviation. It goes of deep dives about ops and about flying and destinations, airlines, and they've been a good source for us to lean to as we start our podcast. And they talked about us on their last show, so go listen to it and check out them at Next Trip Podcast. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for listening. We are really excited for our next episode. On the next episode, we're going to talk about the trip that we just did. Yesterday, we did a day trip of sorts. It was about 28 hours long. We took 4 flights, and one of them was on the new 737 MAX. So we're going to share all about that and kind of our thoughts on the MAX.
Yeah, so if you're liking so far these stories and enjoying this podcast, make sure you are subscribing. And if you've got any feedback for us, give us some feedback. We'd like to hear. But until next time, hope to see you on the priority list, just under my name.
Under Monique's name, of course.
Go find us on Instagram and Twitter at Non-Rev Lounge Podcast. We look forward to hearing your stories and getting updates on what you think we can do better. Thanks, guys.